There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. My next guest was introduced to me by a friend, and we've been in similar circles for a while, and I'm so glad that connection was made. Laura McDonald is a self-confessed accidental money coach, but when you hear her story and her abilities, there are no accidents here. Her real approach to money as a mum with two kids on one wage is inspiring, thought-provoking, and life-changing. I could talk to Laura for hours, so I hope you enjoy our time together chatting about money goals. Welcome, Laura, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you.
Now, I'm so excited to have you here because I've been watching you on socials and we've been in the same circles for a little while. And, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Now, do you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm a money coach and I guess I kind of fell into that a little bit accidentally. I was coaching people with their money and paying off their debt and saving up fast. And that was kind of accidentally I was doing that through an online forum. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I kind of put it on this forum my own money goal and money challenge at the time. And I only really put it on there to keep myself accountable so that I couldn't back out of what I said I was going to do. So I put it up there. I put my goal out there and then just kind of wrote about and blogged about what I was doing to meet the goal and to as I was working on it. And in this forum space, which was primarily made up of women, I found that a lot of these women were kind of being attracted to what I was doing and jumping on board with their own goals. So we kind of formed a bit of a group or just a really, really supportive space.
Yep.
An encouraging space where we were all invited to jump in if we wanted to. You didn't have to do anything. You could, you know, if you just wanted to sort of have a bit of a read on the sidelines. If you didn't want to be posting too many details about what you were doing and what you're working on, you didn't have to. Like, it was all pretty much just sharing and supporting and encouraging each other in this space. And I just kind of realized that I was impacting what I had created. Was impacting these women and their lives, and that kind of, I didn't mean to do that, but that's what happened. Yeah.
It's awesome, and that's what I love about it, is just by accident, just happened. But can you tell us a bit like the goal that you reached?
Yeah, so my goal that I put up there in the forum space, I labelled it, so I said $140,000 mortgage down to zero in 12 months.
Wow.
Because that was my remaining mortgage and that's what I wanted so badly. I didn't know how I was going to do that because that sort of money was nowhere near our household income. But that's what I wanted so badly. So I put that up, and I guess just that title alone attracted a lot of the people on the forum to just have a little bit of a sticky beak and jump on in and see what I was writing and see what I had to say, because they've read this title, this thread title, and thought, what's this about? Yeah, so that was the goal that I was working on for the 12 months. So that's, yeah.
And to give people some context, you've got kids as well, yeah, and you were doing that on one mortgage, weren't you? Oh, sorry, one income.
Yeah, yeah. So we the boys at the time were 1 and 3, so they were babies.
Wow.
I had stopped work to stay at home and raise them, and we were on one income. So Tom was bringing in, he's an electrical supervisor, so that's, you know, at the time that was clearing $1,250 a week, that was net.
Yeah.
So that's the amount of money, household income I had per week to use.
That's incredible. Yeah. And with two kids, like kids are like money pits. So and having to live and all your other expenses, I mean, how did you do it?
Well, actually, to be honest, so with the kids being so young, 1 and 3, that's a lot cheaper than what they are now. So currently they are 11 and 9 now.
Yep.
And as the kids get older, it does, there's more expenses involved. You know, there's schooling stuff. There's a lot of money goes in activities. They do sports. They love soccer. So you're paying for soccer season fees. Like, so as they grow up, they do, things get more expensive. They eat more, you know, so, and they're boys, so they eat more. But so when they were little, I had no school fees. I had no daycare fees. I had, they just, you know, It was costing less, but at the same time, I was at home with them, which meant we didn't have that second income anymore. Mm. So with me making that decision to be home with them, we did lose that second income. So it was just Tom. So, I had no idea how I was going to do it. I just know I wanted it so badly, why I wanted it is like a whole other story.
Yeah.
But because I know so strong in me, I wanted to work on this mortgage goal and be free from that debt. I set the goal without really knowing how I was going to do it, because it didn't make sense. It made no sense to go for that goal. But it was what my heart wanted so badly that I thought, I'm just going to set it and go for gold and see how I go.
It's incredible. And I know you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and the underlying theme in all that you're doing is all about freedom.
Yes, yes. Oh, so much. I wanted to be free from the bank and owing the bank.
Yep.
And I wanted to be free from employers.
Mm.
But not even just so much employers, just being locked into the type of work that I didn't want to be doing.
Mm.
And sometimes employers also, because I didn't always, some employers that I had worked for were difficult.
Yeah.
So I didn't always enjoy working for certain people or certain companies, but also just the job. You know, I sort of knew if I did not have to carry the burden of debt, if that was not in my life, it gets me further away from being locked in or trapped in a job I don't want to do, working for people I don't want to work for, because I don't owe the bank anything.
Mm.
Like, you know, so if I don't owe the bank anything, I don't need to do anything over here with, you know, with the work and, the, you know, that sort of thing. So for me, it was all interconnected and having the freedom from not being locked into any of that. And sometimes I can also associate it with being owned as well.
Absolutely. Like
when you owe some money or when you owe something to someone, you can feel owned. Well, I did at the time, and I didn't want to feel like I was owned by an employer who owned my time, or the bank who owned my money, because I had to pay that money back to them before I could use it to spend on myself and my kids and my family. So I didn't want to feel owned by the banks or work and employers. So freedom was a huge motivator. Like, it was all about freedom. It, you know, the mortgage it wasn't about the mortgage. It was about freedom.
And I bet it was the best feeling the day that you paid it off.
Oh, Jesus. Like, it makes me want to cry thinking about it now. I was a pile on the floor.
Wow.
Emotional. Because I had the goal was so charged with so much emotion for so long, and that's what kept me going, is that desire and to reach that goal. It was that emotion. It was huge.
I know my mortgage is not that old. I have a fairly new house, as you know. I just did, you know how they give you the option to fix your rate and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I did that because there's some much lower interest rates going on at the moment over COVID.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So they read out the statement to you and they say it's like 65 years. And I was just like, I'm not sure I'll be here then.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know, at the time, that's what you're signing up for. When you go for a bank loan, you know, you sort of think 30 years. I don't even know what the standard is now. It used to be 25 years. I think now it's 30 years you sign up for that loan. And I always sort of thought, why? Why are you telling me it's going to take this long? Like, why? I don't think I need this amount of time to pay it off. But, I think sometimes it can just be a given. People buy into that and go, oh, it's going to be the biggest debt I have in my life. Yeah, maybe it's going to take me 30 years to pay it off. But no, it doesn't. Yeah.
I was exaggerating at 65. It was only 35.
Oh, that's what it feels like, though. That's what it feels like. You know, because that's what, for me at the time as well, if it was going to take me that long to pay off a mortgage, it meant I would be trapped for that amount of time in a job. And it did feel like 65. You know what I mean? Like, when you don't want to be somewhere trapped, you know, it does feel like forever.
Absolutely. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, now that you've reached that goal and are inspiring others to do the same, what's your mission now?
I want to be able to share what I've done with people. I want to be able to even just represent possibility to people, to say you don't just have to buy into the norm of, you know, settling for it takes this amount of time to pay off your mortgage. You need to use your entire working life to pay off your mortgage. Your best years, you know, you're stuck paying off debt. You know, it so does not need to take that amount of time. So even just to be able to show people or represent a different alternative to people, so that they can see this this example and hear my story and know about it and go, oh, okay, there's another way. That's all really is just represent possibility, and then if people are interested in doing it, because I've done it, I can talk to them, I can share that knowledge and that wisdom and how I did it as well.
Yeah, and every time I talk to you, I'm like, I so have to work with you. Now, I'm curious to know what your biggest lesson has been through this money saving and money goals that you've had, and also, you know, that you've seen in other people. What's probably been the biggest lesson that someone could take away from you in that goal?
I think the biggest lesson might be just understanding that how you think and feel about something is everything. Because I've got no training in this. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a maths whiz. I'm not the figures type, you know, this makes sense in figures. And like, I just had a dream and I just went full throttle towards that dream. And that's what got me further than any sort of mentally knowing and understanding the numbers. So I think your mindset your money mindset, your wealth mindset, your abundance mindset, your gratitude, really understanding that there's a lot of energy that you can put into a focus on something and your attention. And if you can learn how to keep feeding that energy daily, you don't need willpower to keep working on this goal. You're feeding its energy, its excitement, its desire, it's your dream.
Yeah.
It's not paying off a mortgage. It's you're going after your dream.
And, you know, as a lot of people say, and you know, money is energy,
yes,
effectively.
Yeah.
And, yes. You know, I know when I've worked on the scarcity mindset and cleared that away, I've had more money than I've ever had before.
Yeah.
And you just attract the people that you need to help you reach your goal. And that abundance just flows.
That's right. And I think so much of this stuff is unconscious as well.
Mm.
Like, I'm not perfect with this stuff. I keep working on it. Like, I need for me to keep working on it and get more awareness and unblock some more, and it then helps me to help others more.
Mm.
Because I'm not staying stagnant where I'm at. Like, there's so much more for me to heal and clear and know and learn as well.
Yeah.
I just believe that I, because of my experience, because of what I've done, because of what I've achieved, I'm quite possibly a little bit further ahead on the path than a lot of other people. So I can help because I've already gone down that path, so I can help. But I'm still on the path myself.
Mm.
I'm still learning, and there's so much more for me to do as well, especially when it comes to the shadow stuff, like the unconscious stuff.
Mm.
Like you said, scarcity. A lot of times we wouldn't consciously think or admit that we've got a scarcity mindset.
Mm.
We don't even know that. We're not aware. It's because we've inherited it. It's might have grown up in a family that we've absorbed that sort of stuff because that was just how we grew up. And it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm.
You know, and it's just us taking responsibility now. So not putting any blame on anybody, us as adults taking responsibility now to be able to say, okay, I want to have more awareness here. What can I do to have more awareness around my money stuff, my unconscious stuff? Do I need to sit down and journal and just see what comes out? Do I need to go and see a healer? Do I need a few sessions? Do I need, I don't know, shadow work, which is working with the unconscious and the stuff you can't see?
Mm.
You know, just, or even just paying attention, maybe choosing to pay a bit more attention with, how am I spending my money? How do I feel when I spend my money?
Mm.
You know, am I tense when I'm spending my money? Do I feel amazing when I'm spending my money? Like, what? Yeah, just paying attention to how your feelings around money.
And that's it. A lot of us are quite unconscious, literally, when we spend money. It's just like it's a habit that you don't even think twice about. And, you know, if you're not conscious about where your money's going and where it's coming from, it gets really easy to get out of hand.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm all about, is, like, there is no real right or wrong way to spend your money.
Mm.
I'm not a coach that's here to say this is – I've done it like this, so this is how it's done. I'm not – you know, it worked for me like that because of what I wanted.
Mm.
But it also doesn't mean that everybody wants what I want. Everybody has their own version of freedom. My version of freedom was to have no money owing to anybody. That was my version of freedom, like no debts ever, like, you know, no mortgage, the mortgage completely cleared, no credit card debt, no car loan, no personal, nothing. That was my version of freedom. But other people might have a different version of freedom.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. It's, you know, there's a, you know, billions of people on the planet, there's probably, and all likelihood should be, billions of different versions of freedom on the planet. So it really is about helping people to talk with them and help them to clarify what is your version of freedom? Mm. What do you really want? What do you really desire? Then once you find clarity around that, then you direct your money there to get you what you want and to allow you to have what you want, rather than just unconsciously, like you said, tapping into those that groove, those habits of this is just what I do with my money, and by the end of the week I don't even really know where it's all gone.
Yeah.
What if by the end of the week you've known that you've directed your money consciously to a cause that is exactly what you want, and you're not there yet, because it's going to be a journey, and it's going to take work and consistency and persistence, but you're on your way. It just makes you, yeah, your life just takes on a different sort of meaning because you feel, you know, you're moving towards what you want. You're not just fluffing around, like, you know, feeling stuck and frustrated. You're on your way to where you want to go.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were just saying before, there's a lot of people who say they've got money blocks or issues with their relationship with money based on what they've inherited or learnt or been conditioned by. You know, for me, I did grow up with scarcity, and it was hereditary as well. I ended up bankrupt at the age of 23, and I have to say I'm in a far better place now than I was then. And like I said, scarcity no longer lives here. So, you know, you can actually turn things around. So, and I know when you're in the thick of it, it can feel like there is no out, but it is your mindset that gets you there.
And your energy.
Absolutely.
As well. And you can change, you know, you can change your mindset, you can change your energy, you can change your thoughts. You can change your feelings. They're all interrelated. They're all interlocked together. You can't just change one and then think the others aren't going to be affected. You know, even just a lot of people work on gratitude journals daily. That's just focusing on the good stuff. You know, you're wiring your brain. You're training your brain. You're lifting your energy. You're lifting your vibration just by writing out a few things you're grateful for every day and meaning it, like you've got to feel it in your heart, not just writing it and going through the motions, like you feel that in your body. It's as simple as that if you choose to do that. There's other ways you can do it. But, yeah, really starting with awareness.
Totally.
And just deciding, do you want to shift your energy around it, you know, and making that decision.
So can you share with us you know, people that you've worked with or that, you know, you've been in this group with, that the kind of goals that they've reached or that you've worked on together?
So some of the women were paying off their mortgages quicker than I was.
Wow.
Like I didn't achieve the 140 in the 12-month time frame. It took me another year and a half to get there. But, like, there were women who were just so inspired, they thought, I'm just going to jump on board this train and see where it goes. And they were paying off their mortgages quicker than me. Having said that, though, like, that was an amazing thing, and I was there to support them and encourage them and tell them to go for it. But they were also in different situations. They had, like, a double income coming in, and higher incomes as well. It's all good. We were there to, and we all understood that we're in different situations. Some of the women in that group were single mothers. So they had a couple of kids that they were raising, and they had, like, a part-time job. And then you had me, who had, you know, one income, but we had family of four. And then you had a couple of people that had more than one income and really high incomes, but we were all in there to support one another. People paying off their mortgages, paying off their credit cards, saving. One woman, amazing. She was younger, a lot younger than the rest of us, and she had no kids, and her and husband were working, so two incomes coming in, and she ended up paying out her mortgage really quickly. And then she had a goal the next year, where she continued on with our group, of buying and paying off an investment property in 1 year. Wow. And she did that. Yeah, like a little unit, like maybe a one-bedroom unit. And then so they did that. So there's her freedom, because she's got her principal place of residence paid off. She's got an investment property paid off. Young couple, no kids. So they took off. They haven't stopped traveling.
Wow.
She's been to over 60 countries. It's amazing, because she's now got that the rental income of two properties. Mm. So she's off. She's out of here. And that was amazing. She was part of the group. She's amazing. And then, like, another, there's a lot of people who were on the sidelines and they weren't actually contributing with their figures or letting me know what they were doing. So I didn't even know they were there. Mm. And then next minute they'd pop in and say, oh, my God, I've been reading along and I haven't said anything, but this is what I've been doing in the wings. So one family, what they did was they were inspired enough to save money to take their whole family over to America because their kids were in some sort of martial arts or karate competition.
Yeah.
And he was able to represent the country over in America. And she said, without following the thread and my blog, they wouldn't have even entertained the idea that they could save that amount of money to get their whole family over there so that their kid could compete in a karate comp. And I didn't know that. I didn't know they were working on that until she wrote in and said, hey, guess what? I haven't said anything so far, but this is what your blog or your thread has inspired me to do. I just cried when I read that. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was having this impact on people.
It must feel so rewarding.
Yeah, it did at the time. Yeah. And it still does. It still gets me emotional because I didn't think I could have that impact on people. I wasn't even doing it on purpose. And, you know, and I was. I didn't know I could impact people like that. I wouldn't have known. Had she not written in and let me know, I would never have known because, like I said, I didn't know. She wasn't writing in on the blog, on the thread and saying this is what our goal is. Like, I didn't know. So I think there could be a lot of people that were reading along and inspired to do their own thing, but maybe they didn't have the time to contribute to the thread or to write in or didn't want to, but just took inspiration on the sidelines and did their own thing, but was reading me and what I had to say. The energy of the thread was pumping.
Yeah.
But I intuitively knew, I didn't know how I knew, but I intuitively knew I had to feed this thread with as much energy as I could because this is what was going to keep my goal going. I was spending so much time writing and talking to everybody in this manner. Yeah.
So you've got the secret formula and you didn't even realize you had it all along.
No. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know what I was doing. Early on into it, I remember thinking, and I wrote it as well, something big is going on here. I don't know what it is, but this is more than just a mortgage goal. Something big's going on, but I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But it felt bigger. So, and it was all the impact I was having with women and their families and their lives.
I think a lot of us need that inspiration, and I think that can just spark a wildfire.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I remember I'm such a private person and this was in a forum where it was anonymous. I didn't have to use my own name. Mm. And I remember wanting to set the goal and writing the title and I was shaking and I was nervous and I was anxious. My hands were shaking, probably excitement, but also they're gonna think I'm a nut job. Like, you know, and I can say that I didn't care what people thought, but I did. You do care what people think, but I wrote it anyway. Oh my God, if they think I'm a nut job, whatever. I want this so much, and I'm just going to write it down and go for it. So I didn't really know how it was going to be received, and I was new. I was new to the group. I was new to the forum. I'd never led another thread. It was very, very new, so I really didn't know the audience and the group members.
Mm.
And I didn't know what I was in for. But they were really supportive and then I was away
after
that.
So in your journey in paying off the mortgage, what do you reckon was your biggest challenge and how did you overcome it?
I think because it wasn't easy. And there were times I wanted to give up and just stop.
Yeah.
We got about halfway through. We got about mid-year to the mid-year point and we were giving it everything. Like Tom was working and I was trying to defend his income, you know, so strong with, you know, trying to stretch out, you know, how I would pay the bills and how I would feed the family. And to continue to do it to that extent, it can get tiring. That sort of moving at that pace is not sustainable for any length of time. And that's why I knew I was going to commit to it for 12 months. And then after 12 months, if the goal wasn't achieved or if we still had some mortgage left, we were going to just kind of ease off and just kind of go at a pace that was more manageable. At points along the way, it got frustrating and because I wanted to be moving quicker.
Yeah.
It was just such a massive goal. So there was frustration because I was working on such a massive goal. And I did want to give up. And I nearly did. I'm sitting there. I remember having a conversation with Tom thinking, what are we doing? We don't need to go. We don't need to do this. And then I said, but we said we're going to do it. We said we're going to commit to 12 months. We don't have to keep up this pace for the rest of our lives. We're just going to give it our best shot for 12 months, see where we land at the end of it. And, yeah, so I think with the support of each other and also the support of the group, we didn't give up. We just kept going. And once that happened, we pushed. That was a limit we got to. Comfort zone, pushing on the edge of our comfort zone. And once we pushed through that and with the choice of not giving up, we pushed through that and that we're at a different level. Then it was like, a new space. I don't know. And then we're like, okay, I'm consciously choosing to keep going. This is where I'm at now. Okay, I'm clear. Let's go. And I don't know, it was like a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of energy. It's like we're halfway through. Let's just keep going.
It's so amazing that you've got, you know, you and Tom have been able to do that together so well. I know most couples would probably kill each other after a year trying to save at that pace. So, you know.
Oh, he's amazingly supportive.
Yeah.
It did get hard. And we did clash on a few things, but we worked through it and it was just that communication, keeping up that communication.
And that's it. You're both working towards a common goal and it's a shared freedom for you both, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It was for both of us.
Mm.
I mean, I was feeding it with the it was my dream. But then, you know, he was like, yeah, that sounds cool. Who wouldn't want to not have to, you know, pay off the mortgage anymore? So he bought into it as well. And then, yeah, it was a common shared goal and, just navigating our way through that together
was no doubt there was probably a lot of compromise you had to make during that time as well.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I mean, we weren't like there was just things like I was cooking from scratch. There was no takeaways. There was no eating out. There was no, you know, like entertainment that you'd pay for. I'm looking for all these free things to do and to get the kids out and free activities in the local area. So it just sparked a lot of creativity of how can I maintain the lifestyle without impacting the whole family too much, but just do things on the cheap or do things free. And it just sparked so much creativity of how to approach how I could do things in a way that we weren't having to feel like we were sacrificing and compromising so much.
Yeah. That goes with that mindset as well. And, you know, you've probably set yourself up really well for this pandemic we've just been through.
Yeah. Well, there's no stress really. And that's the thing. So many people here, just with the uncertainty, the level of uncertainty now in the world, with jobs and industries collapsing and all this, people don't know whether they're coming or going. Like, they're working, routines have changed, or their work may have been greatly impacted, or just abruptly interrupted, and they've got no control over that. And it's causing so much stress, like so much stress. And it's, yeah, like we've always had that buffer of just there's enough money there. And what it does provide is just to have that money there. Now that we've got no debt, we've got a stash of savings there. And it just, if anything was to happen to Tom's, our main income, we've got, it's just cash flow. We've just got ready-made cash flow because it's there waiting. Like, so if our cash flow is interrupted, it's just, it's there's no stress. And, like, that's, for me, that's another form of freedom.
Yeah.
Like, that's more freedom for me. That's our when we talk about money being energy, that's stored energy. That money, that stash of money in the bank, that's stored energy. That's previous, going out to work and earning the dollars and trading your time for money. That's all takes energy. That's your life energy. You're going to work every day to earn that money. It's all stored energy sitting there in the bank. And it takes the pressure off. It takes the stress away. I've always felt that that's important. I want to have that freedom. So I think if people had, like, even a small emergency fund, or, you know, a little backup fund, whatever you want to call it, if it's a couple of $1,000, or even if it's 3 months worth, like, just say you had 3 months worth of living costs sitting in the bank, that buys you time. That buys you a bit of space. It buys you back your sleep at night.
Yeah.
You're not stressing in bed going, oh, my God, I've got no money. I'm living payday to payday. And what if my job goes, you know, tanks? Like, what if my industry tanks? What if I've got, you know, what am I going to do? It's too much stress.
Yeah.
And there's too many things out of your control. So for me, I sort of see, you just have a little bit of money there. It buys you some time to sort out your head, to sort out your feelings and your emotions, and go, okay, look, I'm covered for 3 months. We can pay everything we need to pay for 3 months. And in that time, I'll figure out what our next move is.
Yeah.
So that's how I see that.
And I've been in that situation before where I've been made redundant and then gone, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And it was just when I signed on the house, and I was my God, what do I do now? I actually gave myself 3 months, and I was okay, and I found another job, hated that, then went and found another one. You know, to have that flexibility and that security, that if you do need to make a change, you can, and that you're not going to sacrifice yourself as part of it. But I think – I really love your analogy of that stored energy, and I think if people can just change the way they think about it, they'd probably value it a lot more.
Well, it's, you're supporting yourself.
Mm.
Like, because you don't know what's going to happen in life.
Mm.
Like, when life happens, you know, and, you know, things go pear-shaped and you it's out of your control, you've got a stash of support, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
Don't take the word money away.
Yeah.
You've got support sitting in the bank, and you've put that support there for yourself in the future for when life happens. Like, just, to me that just makes sense. To me that gives me my freedom. It all comes back to freedom.
It's that word money, isn't it?
it's highly emotional. Like, for people, there's a lot of emotions around money.
Yeah.
That, I think there's a lot of stuff you're not even aware of that you think about in relation to money, but it's highly emotional because I don't think there's anybody on the planet who's neutral to money and the feelings around money. I honestly don't think there's anything good or bad. It really is just being aware of, what do I think about money? What are my feelings about money? What stories have I bought into about money?
Mm.
What do I tell myself about money?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's incredible how much it sticks with you and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, mm. yeah. But even me now too, you catch yourself.
Mm.
You know, it's never ending. It's just uncovering more awareness and more awareness and more awareness, and that's going to happen until the day I die. Like, that doesn't stop. It's just becoming more and more aware. Yeah, that, and that's just not even about just money. It's
yeah.
everything. It's,
yeah.
it's your life, you know. So
I'm curious, what goal are you going for at the moment?
Oh, well, so I'm saving we're working on $10,000 in 10 weeks.
Wow.
And I always set a stretch goal. So I set the normal goal and then I set a stretch goal. So the original goal is 10K in 10 weeks, but the stretch goal is let's go for 15K in 10 weeks. So we'll see how far I get. And the reason is, like, so this money, the other big thing too is to have a purpose for the money, because if there's not a purpose for it, it's like, well, why are you going to save so hard? Like, it's nice to know where the money is going to be directed, what you want to do with it when you're working on something. So this is either to this money is either going to go towards buying a new car,
mm-hmm.
Because one of my rules is I don't go into debt for a car. Like, yep. I won't go and get a car loan. I will pay for it in cash. So it's either just going towards buying a new car, mainly because the cars I drive around in are they're 10 years old by the time I get to them, by yep. the time I buy them. And the last couple of services I've taken my car in for, it's costing about $1,000 just to have the thing running.
Mm.
So it's an old car, like it's a little 20-year-old car, and it's just starting to cost too much to keep servicing and maintain. So I thought, look, you know, if it can go towards a new car, or if it's I can hang on to my car for a bit longer. The other thing that this money could potentially go towards is a house. So we're either going to upgrade the house by just selling here and buying another house, or doing a renovation here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just sort of feel like we've outgrown the house now as it is. As the boys get older, it'd be nicer just to have a bit more space. That's the purpose of the money goal at the minute. It's either house or car. So
yeah.
I can go to either one of those. So that's going to help.
I've been watching you on Instagram with $1,000 a week. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and you're ticking it off every week. And I know when we recently spoke, I was a bit inspired because I'm actually looking at getting a new car next year. And I was like, well, I could probably save most of the money for that by the time I'm ready to buy.
Yeah. And the main reason why I can do it is because we're servicing no debt. And I've drilled the costs down so much. I've mentioned on Instagram as well, or Facebook, I can't remember, I don't save like this all the time. Like, I don't go at this pace all the time. But when I slip back into it, if I set a goal, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
It really is like a finely tuned savings machine. I don't know what I can slip back in because I've been here, like I did this pace for a year. I haven't even really done this pace since that year. I've keep saving, but I haven't, you know, I can slip back into it easy because the costs are drilled down over years. Like, I haven't all done it overnight.
Mm.
Like, over the years, I've learned how to get the costs down. The money is not having to be directed towards paying off any sort of loans. So we get the income coming in. It's like, oh, I'm going to save 70, 80, 90% of this and get to my goal quick. And then, that's how I can do that, is just because I've drilled the costs down over the years. Yeah.
And that's incredible. And the other cool thing about not servicing debt is you're not paying dead money on interest.
Yes.
Because you're just treading water, really, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's another thing. It used to I think I had physical reactions to that. I didn't like having to pay so much interest to the bank.
Mm.
If I was just paying back the principal, then I'd be okay. Yeah, like I'm just paying back the money that was not mine in the first place. But when you throw interest on there, it makes me feel a little bit sick. Like I have a physical reaction. Yeah, I never liked the thought of paying interest. It does make you feel like you're throwing your money in the bin or lighting fire to it. So that's the other thing. The quicker you pay off your mortgage, the less of that extra money that you're working hard to earn will sit. And that's another money thing, working hard to make money. It's the stories that you tell yourself about money. So just even being aware of what you're saying when you're talking about money. I have had this belief for a long time that you have to work hard to earn money. And I think that's where this fits in when I think, well, if I'm having to pay so much interest to the bank, I've got to work hard. Tom's got to work hard. We've all got to work hard to pay the bank back the money, but then pay them all this interest. And I don't like that. That doesn't wash well with me. That makes me feel sick. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that all lends to that freedom, I think, like you were talking about. Now, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
So I have the website is www.lauramcdonald.com.au. And then I've got a blog on there. So there's a few blog articles there that people can read. And then I'm on Instagram at Laura McDonald Money Coach on Instagram. I've got Facebook as well, and I've started a Facebook group, just a free Facebook group. It's called The Freedom Collective. So if there's people in there that we can just have conversation about money and open up that dialogue. And, yeah, so there's the Facebook group going on as well.
I think I'm going to join that group.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to ask you the big question, Laura. Yeah. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
I would like to see more consciousness. I think because the way we spend our money just pretty much just reflects our level of consciousness. I think so. Like the way things are set up now, there's a lot of power associated with money and a lot of aggression and a lot of kind of win-lose scenarios when it comes to money. And that's just our consciousness, like on the planet, you know. So I think, you know, money, how we direct it and how we spend it and how we can circulate it really just reflects the level of consciousness of humanity. So I think, money can be used to promote connection and relationships and good in the world, abundance. We share the abundance. But I think people need to shift their consciousness first before that starts to reflect in the world. So really, you know, if I can just help people bring a little bit more awareness to how they spend their money and how they direct their money, and then, you know, people are becoming more aware in that way, they're becoming more conscious, more heart-centered, the money is going to be circulated in a different way on the planet. And I believe eventually, well, that can then lead to more balance, more equality, more respect just for every human on the planet, just more deeper respect for one another.
Wow, I think we need you in politics.
No, I've got politics.
You know what? I read a book years ago, and you probably heard of it, and it's called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
And they talk a lot about abundance in that, and it's all around the more you give, the more you'll get back. It's that exchange of energy. If you just freely give, it's going to come back to you in so many ways.
And also being able to be in a position where you can give without expecting anything in return.
That's it.
Because otherwise you're energetically connecting things into that, and you're tying yourself, you know, to you know, I'm going to give this, and then secretly I expect this from this person, but I'm not going to say it, but that expectation is sort of there, and that starts to get a bit yucky energy, yeah. You know. But if you can just give from the heart and say, this, I'm just giving this, and then there's, you don't need anything or want anything or expect anything in return, and it's just a clean, clean giving, it's just, yeah. That's how you need to do it, I think.
Yeah, and it does work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laura, I have to thank you for being a part of the ethical evolution.
Thank you.
And we're going to join you in your Facebook group at the Freedom Collective, and I look forward to working with you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Mindy.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.